shake the world, we'll see it. I'll say your name out loud. Say his name out loud. Say his name out loud. Say his name out loud. The name of Jesus. Say his name out loud. Say his name out loud. Say his name out loud. The name of Jesus.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Some years ago, not many, many years ago, some marketers got together and they came up with a phrase, got milk, and that would be a white mustache on every person where the phrase was asked. And the mustache was there, evidence that the person who asked the question had what they were asking, do you have? I was preparing, and the Spirit of the Lord brought back to my remembrance that commercial, because what I was dealing with in that advertisement was the fact that in spite of all of the things that we go to, go through, deal with, and that deals with us, many times our joy is diminished. And so I thought tonight to ask you, do you have joy? Got joy? Do you really have joy? Now, the few folk clapping might have some. The rest of y'all act like you got issues. Now, I want you to ask your neighbor, do they have joy? Say it like the commercial. Got joy? Huh? I mean, because it's really with an attitude. I got it. The question is, do you have it? Got joy? Now, again, remember, the little white mustache was evidence that they had milk, correct? You can't ask nobody if they got it if you ain't got it. And if you got it, it ought to be evidence. So there should be some sign. The word of the Lord say, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. There ought to be some tangibility in some way, whether it's speaking it out so that it is a manifested reality shown or demonstrated in your life, or some way upon you that they can look and touch and say, there, that person has joy, or they can in some way witness the joy that you're supposed to have as a believer. So as we go through the study tonight, remember, the enemy wants to either steal your joy or chill your joy. If he chills your joy, it's just the same effect as him stealing it, because both of them are rendered inoperative. are inoperable. And so here is the thing that you must recognize. As you go from day to day, what makes everything that you go through worth going through when you do or do not have joy? You've got to, you know, weigh it out, measure that out your own self, because being saved and being a saint doesn't mean that you have a problem-free life. This ain't no Hakuna Matata, worry-free philosophy. No, you go through something. Matter of fact, the more or the closer you become to God, the more the enemy desires to test you. The more frequent the tests become and the more issues within the tests that comes your way, the closer you get to the Lord. So if you ever look at your life and you're trying to line it up and get right with God, get closer to God, and stuff upon stuff just keep happening, more and more, quicker and quicker, you have less recovery time after the next situation happening. That's because you are actually getting closer to the Lord, and the Lord is allowing you to be tested. But in the midst of all of that, your joy should not be diminished. Should not be diminished. Because what you got to realize is that God is bragging on you and allowing you to go through. And the reason why he keeps giving these words to us is because obviously we are not, really focusing on and getting the fullness of the issue that God has with us, not recognizing the joy value. Joy, pleasure caused by the acquisition or expectation of good, a positive attitude or pleasant emotion, delight. The joy of a believer should rise above circumstances, happenings, and focus on God's goodness, looks beyond present to the future. Now, that means very simply, your joy is not limited to what you're going through. Your joy is not limited to your bad situations and circumstances and happenings. Your joy has the ability, because your joy is connected with God, to Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you many other things it's connected to. It is not limited to. And so you go to that point beyond your problems. You go to that point beyond what is in the tangible or the natural into the supernatural. And when you recognize that, you can have joy in spite of what's happening in your life. Now, too many of us can only shout after the battle is over. Very few of us can shout on our way to the battle. We might be able to muster up a little shout in the midst of the valley, when they see a break at the end and there might be some hope or some help on the way. But very few of us can do like David and shout before we ever get through the valley. Even when we get at the mouth of it, can declare it's all right because he's with me. Now I'm gonna show you, when God is on your side, there are some things that you wanna have joy about. The first thing we wanna talk about is the sovereign God, and then I'll just share some other things with you. The sovereign God is almighty, and he has supreme power. He is supreme in power. He possesses and exercises supreme authority. That is the apex. He has the ultimate. There is none greater than him. There is none who is more authoritative than him. When you understand he is the sovereign God, there is nothing that can happen without his permission. Not only is there nothing that can happen without his permission, but there's nothing that can happen that he does not allow or see. So nothing escapes him. God sees the very little bitty things to the major things that rock your world. And he's in control of them all. Now the issue isn't with God. Wherever there's an issue with things not working right, it can always be traced back to us. We want to look at joy's connection. First of all, joy is connected, one, to the sovereign God. I want you to write these down so you can do a little study of this on your own later. Two, joy is connected to the Son, Jesus Christ. Three, joy is connected to the Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Four, joy is connected to the soul of the believer. Five, joy is connected to the source, and God is our source. Six, joy is connected to our supply, and that's everything that God supplies. And then, of course, joy is connected to the saint, the believer, and controls in all creation joy. Now, I want you to see these things, because as we walk through Scripture, and we won't be able to deal with all of the Scripture, but I'll have them there for your own perusal in your own devotional time. But let's move through the study right quick, and let's look at some things. God rules over the universe. He rules the sun, the wind, the rain, the moon, the hail, the snow, the ice, etc. He is supreme over all things. Now, these catastrophes that we are dealing with, these hurricanes, these earthquakes, these tsunamis, and on and on and on and on, do you think all of these things have their free will and God is not in control of these things? God is in control of it all. He does permit, He does allow these things to happen. Many of these things are already recorded in the Word of God. They're already they're prophesied and they're already in dispensational places, already predetermined by God, depending on man's actions and man's reactions, man's sin, man's obedience. These things are released. Again, many things that happen to us, it is because of how we act or interact with God. Now, grant you this, there are some things that God allowed that does not have to do with us directly. But even out of those things, there are things that God wants to develop out of us through those things. Everything that happened to Job, how many of you know it was not Job's fault? From the word standpoint. So knowing that it wasn't Job's fault, but he suffered all that he suffered, for what purpose? For his development. So in the midst of his development, God allowed danger, he allowed trouble, he allowed travesty, he allowed tragedy, he allowed death, he allowed all of these things to happen. And in the midst of all of that, it was for the development of Job, bringing Job to another place in him. He was already pleased with Job. That's why he told the devil, "Have you considered him?" He was already worthy. He was already honorable. He was already this. But when you go to another level, you're going to have to deal with some more devils. When you take it to another place, you're going to have to deal with it on a whole nother scale. And so you got to know this. It's just like those who ask for patience. You know what brings patience, don't you? Tribulation. You can't get patience without some more tribulation. So for those of you, just go and pray, "Lord, give me more tribulation." So you'll be clear about what's about to come down the pike. And when you do that, just know that that's what it's going to take to bring you to that place of point, place and point. Because again, what we don't understand is what we do many times in terms of being impatient comes from anxiety. Anxiety comes from either not trusting God, believing God, or depending on God. As a result of that, we want to do it our way. And how many of us will be honest enough with us and say, "We done messed up a whole lot in this lifetime. Had we waited on God, things would be different. Had we just called God and said, 'God, what do you think about this choice I'm about to make?'" Any witnesses in the house? Y'all kind of quiet. All right. So we recognize all of this happens as a result many times of us not understanding what God is. I want you to turn to Joshua 10 right quick. And I want us to look at a situation where God hearkens to a man's voice, but the voice that he hearkens to comes out of the authority he gave the man to speak, and the man spoke, and God obeyed his own word at the command of the man. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon.' And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there," verse 14, "was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel." Now listen, my brothers and sisters, when God fights for you, when he's on your side, Romans 8:31 already declares, if he's for you, who can be against you? But here's what you need to understand and see this principle in this. God is over all of the elements of this world, including the sun, etc. Now, the battle was taking place, and the enemy's plot was at sundown. They would overtake Israel, etc. Well, because of the strategic points of where they were, the sun kept them exposed, and so they would not come out until evening time or nighttime. Well, they knew the area. Israel could have ambushed them as they did, but God, of course, was the main power and force in that war that actually won the battle. But strategically speaking, they knew that they couldn't enact their plan until the sun went down. Joshua prays, Lord, don't let the sun go down for a whole day. So that means it kept the sun and the moon from revolving. They stood still in their places for a 24-hour period, thus giving Israel the ability to marshal all of their forces and win the battle, because God actually fought the battle, one from a natural standpoint or from a cosmic standpoint, using the elements of this world, the sun and the moon, to help him in the battle. What you've got to realize is God's got so much power, he doesn't have to use supernatural weapons to win a warfare. God can make your enemy kill himself, and you ain't got to put your hands on him. God has so much authority and so much power, he can do whatever he wants to do. So understanding God ruling everything, we get the reality and the understanding how God is in control of everything. God rules over the plant and animal creation. Numbers chapter 22, verse 28 talks about Balaam's donkey speaking. Just turn back there for just a moment. If you know that story, you'll know that the man of God had been given a word to bless the people of God. There was others who did not want the people of God blessed, paid him off to curse the people of God. He was going to do it, and the donkey saw the angel with the flaming sword and kept him, in other words, spared his life, turned off of the way three times, and then by that third time, after he got through beating the donkey, God opened up the donkey's mouth. Now, this is the only recorded case in biblical history where the donkeys talk, but I know some other cases where donkeys still talk. But look at what the word says in verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of that. Well, it don't say donkey, it say the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And so again, God again uses his supernatural divine authority and sovereign power to even cause unnatural things to happen as animals speaking and having the ability to speak, and it was just for this occasion, and it just again shows God's ability to rule and super rule. Well, you're like, well, what does all of that got to do with joy? Just stay with me. God rules over the nations. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 through 21. Just write these down and you'll get a chance to look at some of these again, talking about, because we're dealing with God as being sovereign, but you're also going to see how God is connected to joy and joy with God. God protects us, provides for us, sustains us, and supplies our needs. Why does he do that? Again, because he's sovereign. How many people in here tonight can say, Pastor, I know I don't deserve all of the blessings of the Lord all the time, but I know he is my sovereign God. In spite of me, he still blesses me. In spite of me, he still protects. I have put myself in harm's way, and he overruled my foolish decision and protect me against myself. How many of you, y'all sitting up here acting like I ain't talking to y'all here. How many of you know you made some silly decisions and know you could have been dead sleeping in your grave right now, but the Lord overrode your decision to do the wrong thing, be in the wrong place, and et cetera, et cetera. God is so faithful. He's sovereign. How many of you said to yourself, you know, got so mad, got hurt, whatever, you know, you just, most of you were younger and foolish and said, you know, I want to die, or I wish you die. You know, but you didn't mean that. God's sovereign enough to know those things, and he overpowers our foolishness. Look at Psalm 43 and 4. Still talking about the sovereign God that joy is connected with. It says, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, the God of my gladness and joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Now, the psalmist is connecting this joy with God, the sovereign God, and recognizing that as he goes, listen, to God's house, to the altar of God, to the place where God's presence was known to dwell in the Old Testament time. Here is what was interesting about this. Whenever there are issues in our lives, the enemy tries to separate us from the sovereign God. In separating us from him, the enemy's desire is to diminish and to disturb, if not to totally destroy, our joy. When we feel we're far from God, our joy is at an all-time low. The only time your joy really comes back to a place of prominence is when you are close or in the presence of the Lord. The enemy knows this because, as he knows, again, joy emanates from God, and in the New Testament time, you're going to see that joy comes from Jesus. In the Old Testament, joy was connected with God through the Word. It's important to understand the Bible talks about the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, then when you search back Scripture, you'll find out what joy was. It was the Word of the Lord. So in the Word of God did you get your strength. The Word of God is where you receive your encouragement. How many times have you been down and out and you open up the Word of God and it's as if God just spoke a word straight to your heart? You were looking for some direction and didn't know which way to turn, and you opened up the Word of God and God gave you the answer to what you needed. You were sitting there listening to the preacher, be it in church, on the radio, on television, and your situation was before God and God spoke a rhema word right to you. I'm trying to tell you, God's Word will bring you joy because it was connected to Him and it still is. Jesus is the way by which we are connected to God and this joy factor today in these times that we now live in. Let's look at the Son, if you will. First of all, the believer receives joy through the birth and resurrection of Jesus Christ, found in the good news declared in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The joy also comes in the believer's sorrow turned into joy through Christ's resurrection, John 16 and 20. And then Christ received joy from the sacrificial atonement at Calvary. If you'll turn to Hebrews right quick, chapter 12, verse 2. You're going to see that even Jesus' joy was connected with His sovereign Father's will that we all be saved and brought into a right relationship with the Father. Jesus was the only one who could do it, and He endured everything He had to go through for you and me, and He counted it joy. Look at what the Word says, verse 2, chapter 12, Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the what? Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I want you to look at this text and I want you to understand, Jesus is getting ready to go to Calvary. He knows all that is entailed in Him going to Calvary. But even as He suffers everything, and again, those of you who have witnessed the Passion, that movie is about the closest thing that depicts the true suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, but even that doesn't do full justice for what He really thoroughly went through for you and for me. But here's the point. He endured it, which meant that when He did get up on the cross and did start the suffering, He could have stopped it at any time He wanted to. When the men shouted and screamed out, "If you be the Son of God, come down off this cross," when they put Him to shame, when they put Him who knew no sin on the cross that was made for sinners and murderers and people of irrepute and those who were ungodly and unholy, and He stood there in your place and my place and took a punishment without feeling shame. He despised the shame that the enemy was trying to bring on Him because of the joy of doing what His Father wanted Him to do. When He was on Calvary, He looked in the spirit realm, and the joy that was set before Him was you. You need to see this. You were the joy that Jesus stayed on the cross for, because He knew I couldn't handle that cross. He knew you couldn't handle that cross. And the joy was knowing that He was the only one who could pay that price for you. And He knew you would not have a way back to the Father if He got down off that cross. So He endured all of that for you, the joy. Y'all ain't getting this thing. I know you're not really getting it here. But I want you to understand something. Not only did He endure that looking at you, but He despised the shame. Now, how many times have we turned around, have we given up because we've been made ashamed of something that we were pursuing, or made ashamed or to feel ashamed because someone else didn't see it the way that we saw it? With all of those folk who misunderstood Jesus, He knew, number one, the Father understood Him. And so you got to understand, when you are connected with Jesus Christ, there are some things that you will do that other folk will misunderstand. But if you know whose joy you are and who you bring joy to, you should not allow what other folk think or say to deter you from staying in that place. You ought to despise the shame. They talk about you, you say, well, you know what? He went through much more than that for me. He's done so much. And then what you got to recognize, the same haters didn't wake you up this morning. Didn't start you on your way. Don't put food on your table. Don't make your situations better or worse. You got to recognize who it is that brings you joy on a daily basis. And so you need to despise the shame. So what? He did a whole lot more than I could ever do for him, for me. And you need to be able to know that in your, you ought not be ashamed to witness. You scared to tell somebody what? Man, you better be like, they better hold me. Because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You know, you get out there and you're going to talk all this stuff about the world. I got something I can tell you about that. You want to talk about where I come from? No, let me tell you who brought me from. I mean, there ain't a believer who doesn't have a story to tell when you really consider what Jesus has done for you. The Spirit is connected with joy. Joy is a gift from the Holy Ghost to the believers. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, the foundational gift that comes to all of us when we come into Christ, the love of God. That's what is the foundation for our relationship with God. The very next thing that is built upon that foundation is joy. Joy comes as an extension of love. After the joy, the peace, which is the security, the confidence, and the comfort of knowing that you are in right relationship with God. On and on and on. All of these things build on top of that reality. But after love comes the joy. But all of this comes and is connected with the Holy Ghost. See, when people don't have joy, it questions whether or not the Holy Ghost abides on the inside. Because here's what you need to understand, and what folk don't recognize, is when you have the fruit of the Spirit, if the Spirit is present, the fruit. Now get this. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and it walks through all of these nine things that it is. But here's what you need to recognize. If it is the fruit of the Spirit, it's not optional. It is inextricably tied and or connected. Whenever the Holy Ghost shows up, love shows up with him, joy shows up with him, peace shows up with him. All of these things show up with him. So you don't pick and choose what you want. They all come in the package. Now, it's clear that you don't use everything in the package, but it's in the package. Because it comes with him. And so, I mean, another way of saying that is just like going to the buffet and you got all this.